Okay, everybody, welcome to a very special edition of the Wrestling Travel Podcast, and it's very special for a few reasons. Number one reason, we don't have our fearless leader, Danny, with us. Danny's on vacation. Danny is, he's on a cruise ship, sailing around the world currently. I don't know what Danny's doing, but Danny just does on vacation a little bit. Number two, it's episode number 13. And the biggest reason to tune in is our very special guest. Thank you for joining us today from our good friends at True Heel Heat. It is SP3. SP3, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, good sir. I'm on back-to-back weeks on Wrestling Travel Podcast. I feel honored. I feel honored and privileged to join you on lucky number 13, your 13th episode here without the leader himself, Danny.
Now, when you said you're on the second week in the row with our podcast, I thought you were going to be like, I'm stuck in the black hole that is the Wrestling Travel podcast. So, and you know what? Giving you that introduction takes me back in time to when we were first meeting. You had me on your podcast originally a few months back, and I appeared last week. So that was my second appearance. So we're kind of even. But I remember the first time we had you on the podcast, I kept referring to you as SVP, even though I knew it was SP3, but my brain was stuck in that Scott Van Pelt ESPN mode. And I was like, as I was inviting you to the meeting, I'm thinking, SP3. And I'm going, why was that so hard to remember? But it was. So welcome, my friend. I'm very happy to have you on the show.
I appreciate you guys having me on. You guys have a very fun podcast here. I was very happy to be on last week and whoop your ass in some quiz. So that was fun.
Well, now you got to understand that without Danny here, if I do a quiz, technically as the host, now I am the quiz master as well. So I can change the rules anytime I want. So I might even up here. So as usual, we want to talk about things happening this past week in the wrestling world. I'm going to do it a little bit different, obviously, just because the way it is. I want to talk about New Japan with you. I want to open up with it because anytime I talk New Japan or hear New Japan, you are the guy that is on top of things, and you also are the guy that can pronounce the names correctly. Now, New Japan president Harold, what's his last name?
Mage
stepped down this week. What are you hearing, or what is the story on that, in case people are just hearing it now for the first time?
Well, basically there was a meeting with the board of directors before, I believe it was night 6 of the G1 Climax 30, and Harold May stepped down as president of New Japan Pro Wrestling. He had made a lot of promises at the beginning of this year that New Japan would break $100 million in profits, which was going to be difficult, of course, during this year, the worst year ever, and during the whole pandemic. But number two, it was because New Japan would have to find a US TV deal. And, you know, they just fell out with Access TV at the end of last year, with Access picking up Impact Wrestling. They had already had Woman of Wrestling, WOW. So they fell out of that relationship because they didn't want to work with Impact Wrestling. They have a bad pass with Impact due to everything that happened with Okada almost 12 years ago now. So they just fell out with that relationship. So New Japan has been in the process of trying to find a new US TV partner, but that has been pretty difficult with the whole the whole pandemic going on, and it was, they were never going to reach that $100 million profit share mark that Harold May wanted. Also, what we found out over like the last couple of days since this announcement went down was that a lot of people within New Japan, wrestlers, talent, staff, weren't in belief of a lot of the promises that Harold May made to the company. He was very good as far as getting like female viewers to the company, but he didn't really like reach out and broaden the horizons in the U.S. Which, if you remember, 3 years ago when New Japan really broke off on this side of the pond in the United States, their whole reach was about expanding in the U.S. And Harold May wasn't really the guy to do that. So now they have, I believe is, I have to probably double check the pronunciation, is Takumi Obami, who is the CEO of New Japan Pro Wrestling of America. He's going to take on Harold May's position and become the president of the entire New Japan Pro Wrestling. So hopefully him having experience over here in America, he is fluent in English. Hopefully his experience in America will help them further expand over here in the U.S. But, you know, everything is up in flux due to this whole pandemic. But it's definitely a changing of the guard in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Access TV no longer has Impact either, does it?
No, Access TV does still have Impact Wrestling. It's Impact on Access is the name of the show exactly. Actually, this week, Access announced that they're going to do a whole Impact Week leading up to Bound for Glory on October 24th. They're going to have a couple of specials. They're going to have the very popular podcast. I don't know if they're as popular as Wrestling Travel, but the very popular podcast of the Good Brothers Talking Shop. They're going to do a special on Impact following the regular presentation of Impact on Access on Tuesday. It's going to be immediately following that. They're also going to do a documentary called This is Bound for Glory, featuring the champions and challengers for the big show. And they're going to have a huge kickoff pre-show prior to Bound for Glory on Saturday, October 24th. So Access and Impact have really furthered their relationship, and it kind of seems like Access enjoys Impact a little bit more and is giving a little bit more reign to Impact than they did to New Japan Pro Wrestling. Even though, you know, New Japan had live viewings of their U.S. shows on Access TV, I don't know, for me, I've just seen in the first year or so, it seems like Access TV likes Impact a little bit more than it did New Japan.
Well, and Access was the only way I ever got to see New Japan. I still did not have New Japan World. But I'm sure Wrestling Travel is going to purchase New Japan World and give me a password.
There you go.
Speaking of
podcasts. You said it on air. You're putting them on the spot.
They're on air. They're on blast. Stay tuned next week when I have no job and I'm looking for somebody to put me on their podcast.
We'll take lockdown sessions on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel.
The gauntlet has been laid down. Look at, I'm wanted. Listen, I just posted last night on my Twitter. I see a lot of guys doing this going, hey, I'm only a few followers away from X amount of number. Did you realize, SP3, that when I did the count, I was shocked and amazed. I am a mere 8,766 followers away from 10K.
A mere. Oh, my God.
You're recording this on a Thursday morning afternoon. I fully expect by the end of the weekend that I'll probably be there.
You're on the cusp. You're a lot closer than I am. I was late to the whole Twitter game, and my Twitter game only further expand when, you know, the True Hill Heat YouTube channel, we really started kicking things into gear late last year, and then I appeared on Wrestle Talk, one of the biggest wrestling YouTube channels. That's when I got a whole bunch of my followers, and I'm only just about to hit 400, so you're much ahead of me.
Well, listen, if every one of our podcast listeners were to follow you and I mean, you're talking probably a good 14 to 17 additional followers this week. That's if everyone's able to do it. So, no, we're growing. But here's the thing. We understand in the world of podcasts, there are many. I mean, pro wrestling podcasts. And some of them are fantastic. We'll throw out the big names. Jericho, Stone Cold, Conrad's podcast, Jim Cornette. But when you look
at Conrad's podcast network, he has a whole bunch of
the whole network, yeah. But when you look at everything that's left, there's a ton of really good ones, and there's a ton of really bad ones. And you guys are one of the great ones. I love your stuff because you know your stuff. Twice I've been on your podcast, but how many times have I watched it and go, you know what? I'm learning stuff because you know your stuff, and I know you don't get any sleep. I know this is like a 24/7 job
for a lot of you.
But then you've got other people that are like, hey, I like wrestling. I'm a fan. I'm going to start a podcast. And they're almost fun to listen to once just because of the lack of organization, I guess. And we're somewhere in between. I always put you over on lockdown sessions because I'm like, listen, trust me. And it's not a gimmick. Please listen to True Heel Heat. I went on their podcast. They know their stuff. I felt like the first time you guys talked about New Japan when I was on there, I was like the kid in right field of his first little league game going, please don't hit the ball to me. Please do not hit the ball to me. Like I got put in because there's only 9 guys. So when you guys started talking New Japan, I was like, oh my God, please don't. Hey, let's go to Justin and talk. So,
You know your stuff, man. You're a very modest, humble guy. I appreciate your modesty. I appreciate your praise of True Heel Heat YouTube channel. And yes, we do a lot of work in regards to the podcast. I have 6-month-old twins, so in between feeding and changing and dealing with my little boy and my little girl, I have to watch a whole bunch of wrestling. It's a lot to keep up with. I still have to watch NWA, UWN Primetime Live this week. It's enough of WWE's 24 hours of television that they have, AEW, New Japan. New Japan has me up at 5 a.m. in the morning, so it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with and a lot to keep up with, but I appreciate the praise and appreciate folks like you that enjoy it and learn a little something from our podcast. But I like you guys' podcast because it's a nice laid-back form. Danny is great as a host. You're a very knowledgeable individual. Your background in professional wrestling from training and being in the business for such a long time. I learned things from you as well, sir. So don't you worry. You guys are on the verge. And happy National Podcast Day to you, sir, and to wrestling travel.
Wow, thank you. One last thing on that topic. Now, be honest with me. I want 100% honesty. I try to watch as much wrestling as I can each week. Do you get sick of it? Do you ever reach a point where you're like, okay, I gotta take a break? How do you, I mean, there's not, you can't, with what I hear on your show, there's SP3, I don't think you miss 5 minutes of stuff, but are you ever just like, oh my God, let me watch a cartoon with the twins or something?
Yeah, we do. Where my daughter likes to whine a lot, so I have to put on almost daily Moana and just a song, You're Welcome, or How Far It Goes, or one of the I was gonna address this on I'm gonna be starting a new men's lifestyle podcast called True Toxicity, that's gonna be talking about like men's lifestyle, manhood, toxic masculinity, relationships, life, whatnot, and me being a father. I'm going to talk about fatherhood, but one of the worst characters in kids' cartoon history, her name is Peppa Pig. Peppa Pig is a jerk. Peppa Pig only cares about herself, and I have to watch that daily with my daughter for her to be quiet sometimes, and I just talk to her, and I'm being like, don't grow up to be Peppa Pig. That's all I tell her.
You know, you're not the first one I heard that from. I was at a round table business dinner in Atlantic City, New Jersey, probably 5 years ago. And the consensus around the table was Peppa Pig is a bitch. And I'm like, okay. Like, a lot of parents are like, I'm just angry watching this stuff. Well, let's move on from Peppa Pig. I want to talk, speaking of myself in the business, I'm going to give you an exclusive on our own podcast.
Okay.
An arch nemesis of mine in the business is running a show in Wisconsin on November 14th. Now, I'm out of the ring. I'm doing the wrestling travel stuff, but something in me cannot let this guy run his show and pull the wool over everybody's eyes. So I cut a promo this week, and he still hasn't answered me, which I didn't expect him to. But now I look like the heel in this promo because I can't let this guy pull the wool over everybody's eyes and run a show. I might have caused him to lose a match last October. Okay, I might have I was stretching my arm out and kind of caught his feet just as somebody was giving him a body press. And then my hand got caught in his bootlace, so I couldn't. It was holding him down, and he might have lost the match. So Tiny Love is hosting, and I got to give him credit. It's called Mayhem for Mason 2. It's a benefit for the family of a little boy in Wisconsin who lost his battle with cancer very recently. So they're bringing in ECW original, WWE superstar, current Impact megastar Rhino. So I hope they pack the place out and raise a lot of money for a great cause. But still, something inside. I know I should just let it go, but I just can't believe the guy did not learn his lesson. So I sent the promo out this week to Tiny Love. Here it is 3 days later, and it's everything I expected. He hasn't replied, so that. But let's. Yeah, I mean, maybe he'll come out and say, you know what I think it is? I mean, he's not the brightest guy in the world. He's probably going to thesaurus.com and stuff trying to figure out what kind of things he would say. But, yeah, I'm the bad guy, I guess. But in reality.
You're a true heel.
I'm a true heel. Thank you. You know what? Yeah. Maybe I'll embrace the bad guy. I'm getting an endorsement by True Heel Heat. But anyway, that promo dropped online. If you haven't got a chance to see it, check it out. It's the best 2 minutes that you'll ever spend watching a wrestling promo. Now, we're coming off the heels of the Stadium Series and Warrior Wrestling. We had the Independent Wrestling Expo. Now, True Heel Heat Wrestling Travel, we've worked together in sponsoring a lot of shows. SB3, there are a lot of hidden gems out in this independent wrestling world right now. You recently had Garrison Creed. You did an interview with the Mercenary, who's operating locations worldwide. One of these guys who feels like he hasn't got his due respect, so he's going out and trying to earn respect. But he showed up at the Independent Wrestling Expo, crashed their Battle Royal, where the winner would have gotten a shot at the NWA title. He had a match the next day. He called everybody out. Madman Fulton of Impact Wrestling came from the autograph table and stepped over the ring barrier and said, I'll take you on. And Creed gave him a good showing. Last weekend, last Saturday, he won the Battle Royal at Warrior Wrestling. So tell me about your experiences with Mr. Creed and how people can watch that interview.
I love me some the Mercenary Garrison Creed. He's just a very knowledgeable guy. He was formerly in the military, so he used that background to kind of help himself in training to become a professional wrestler. And you know, he had a long time where he started off as a wrestling fan in the Monday Night Wars. So I'm a big fan of the Monday Night Wars. If you haven't checked out the True Heel Heat YouTube channel, we do a whole show going back back and reviewing the Monday Night Wars between Monday Night Raw and Monday Nitro from back in the day. So I love the fact that he said that he became a fan during that time period, and then he had a whole gap where he wasn't watching, and then he decided to become a professional wrestler. And he just, you could tell he's very passionate. He wants more and more opportunities, and he's going to get more and more opportunities. He's a guy that's kind of had to learn how the business has progressed from that time that he started out watching to now. And he's really like getting more and more of those chances out there. I know he's going to be performing on October 3rd for Chicagoland Championship Wrestling. He's got a huge match for their championship there, and I'm rooting for him. This guy is very genuine, but at the same time, he has a personality to him. And I love conversations that get that just breeze by. So you can check out the True Hill Heat YouTube channel and check out that great interview with Garrison Creed. And go out of your way to follow this guy, because you know you want to get a part of the bandwagon, the movement for these wrestlers before they hit the big time. Me, myself, I came into the independent wrestling world and fandom in the early 2000s, so I was able to see guys like Bryan Danielson before he went to WWE, guys like Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole. So I've been fans of these guys for years before they even made it to the big time, and you want to do that now with these guys like Garrison Creed. So I can't stress enough, go out of your way to follow this guy. This guy has a great look. He's definitely one of those body guys. I wish I could put in the work to make my body look like his, because he looks amazing. But he's a great guy to talk to, and he has a great opinion about the one, the only, Steve Mongo McMichael. So this is a must listen to interview. Check it out on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel.
Yeah, here's a guy who hit the weights during the pandemic as much as he could. I look at him. I look at Brian Pillman when I first saw him at the Stadium Series. I'm going, that dude did not take a day off the gym.
No. And Brian Pillman Jr., he's another guy that's really like creating that buzz around him. I know he's been in MLW for the past couple of years. He's made appearances for AEW and AEW Dark, but he's another guy that's kind of tearing it up in the independent scene right now, that you want to get on that movement before he hits it on the big time and gets the huge opportunities that his hard work is going to pay off for.
100%. Now, did you finish watching amongst all the wrestling, did you finish the Stadium Series? Did you get all the way through all three nights yet?
I finished night one, making my way through night two, and then I have to complete night three. But I know everything that has happened, and I'm very, very happy for the whole conclusion, how it finally paid off on night three. But I know you know a little bit more about that than me, because you were there live, sir.
Well, and I want to talk about a few independent wrestlers while we're having this podcast, because I know we could go out and talk like we do every week. Hey, what did you think of what happened on NXT? What did you think of AEW? Why are you watching the Retribution? We could go there, but I want to focus where my heart lies in independent wrestling. And I had to issue an apology on Twitter this week. And it's not just because he did the launch off the goalpost, but starting August 7th, Joey Janela versus Jake Something. And then the first Stadium Series show, September 12th, I believe it was, Joey Janela versus Warhorse. Something happened. Now, I'm normally not, I'm going to warn everybody, don't just listen to people on the internet. Watch the product. Because I've seen Joey Janela a couple times in some gimmicky matches, but then I listen to everybody and I'm already in my head going, okay, Joey Janela versus Jake Something. I was not expecting much. And here I found a very good story and a very solid wrestler. And I was like, wow, left that way. I was impressed. Then I went and saw him versus Warhorse, and I'm like, two in a row is no fluke. This guy's solid, working. Got to speak to Mr. Janela at the Fan Fest. Could not have been a nicer guy. But I was in danger of being a guy who would have slept on him. Now, they'll tear him apart on the internet just because of the Jim Cornette podcast and stuff like that. But I got to say, you know, even though I don't like things like the Orange Cassidy character, I can respect the work and stuff that he's done on the indies. But Joey Janela, can you give me your thoughts on Joey? Because now I'm coming from a position of I've known who he has been for a long time. I've watched some of his stuff. I don't rip on anybody unless it's completely they're making a mockery of our business. But I just go, his matches are probably not for me. And now I find myself, since August 7th and with Warrior Wrestling, a huge fan of what Joey Janela does in the ring.
I've always been a fan of Joey Janela, not so much for what he does in the ring, but his ability to create a buzz around his name. First time I've heard about Joey Janela is going frequenting the WrestleMania weekend shows, because my big thing, my first WrestleMania that I traveled outside of my out of New York City for was WrestleMania 33 in Orlando. And the one show that I was looking forward to was ROH Supercard of Honor. But at that point in 2017, ROH had kind of gone from, you know, just an independent promotion to kind of being like the third biggest promotion that was out, second or third biggest promotion at that point, you know, just behind WWE and New Japan at that point. But the one show that all my wrestling fans that were friends told me about was, you gotta see Joey Janela's Spring Break. And, you know, that was the first time that I ever heard about him. And then realizing, you know, going back and then watching like a documentary they did on him with his big match against Zandig in that spot that he did off the top of a roof, that takes balls. Like that, this guy has balls to put himself out there and to do things that are going to draw the attention of the wrestling world. And that fact that he was able to cultivate and promote himself to make the Joey Janela Spring Break the most anticipated show of WrestleMania weekend year after year after year, to the point that I've never been to a Joey Janela Spring Break. It's not because I don't want to go, it's because every time I try to get tickets, it's sold out within minutes. Like, it's the most popular show every single WrestleMania weekend because this guy knows how to promote himself. He has become not only just a big independent star, he's become a legend in places like GCW. I've been able to watch him in the ring, and I can say without a shadow of doubt, in AEW, the greatest AEW dark match of all time is Joey Janela versus Kenny Omega, lights out match in Philadelphia. I had friends that went there. My good friend Mike Martin, who lives out in Connecticut, he traveled all the way from the Connecticut to Philly. That Philly show had guys like Darby Allin versus Chris Jericho. It had the Young Bucks on that show, and he said the best match of the night was at the end of the night with Kenny Omega and Joey Janela. And it's not just because Kenny Omega is one of the best wrestlers in the world. It's because Joey Janela knows how to work. And most of all, he knows how to work that deathmatch, hardcore, spots, no DQ type of style. And the matchup that is getting all the buzz from Stadium Series Night 3, with all the big things that happened, there was a new Warrior Wrestling champion, there was a Madison Reigns last independent show, but the match everybody's been talking about just days later is Joey Janela versus Ego Robert Anthony, no disqualification match. And it's not just him diving off of a goalpost, it's because of the work that he put in. You got guys like Mick Foley talking about it on Twitter, because of course he's happy that his daughter's boyfriend got beat up by Joey Janela. But you know, when you have legends talking about an independent wrestling match, you know this guy has something. He has the it factor. And you know, for all the Jim Cornette fans out there, for all the Jim Cornettes that want to call him Jelly Nutella and all that other stuff, this guy knows how to work. If you go out and you go to these independent shows, you know that he is a big star. He has a big money contract with AEW, but he doesn't hold anything back. He gives you 110%, just like he will on a Wednesday night on Dynamite, just like he will on your local independent show. So I give Joey Janela all the credit in the world.
Couple things I want to touch on. I love listening to Jim Cornette. because of the wrestling knowledge. I'm going to say something here. I hope I don't get blocked, but if it is, I don't like the political, no matter what candidate you support, no matter what party you support, I still believe you and I could be on opposite sides of the fence on politics, SP3, but you're still my friend.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not going to call you names and this and that. And that's what it kind of gets political. But I'm not into calling, even if there's a wrestler or somebody out there that I dislike, I'm not into name calling or bashing. I just go, all right, I'm going to focus my attention elsewhere. And I believe that's what I did with Mr. Janela. But I'm going to tell you what, FanFest, I walk up like your typical. That's the thing with wrestling travel. I have to kind of drop any ego I might have with my little phone here and go, excuse me, could I get a few words? Like I'm a media guy. Joey Janela on his phone looks at me and is solely focused. What do you need? What can I do for you? Yep. Yes, I'll do that. I'll do this promo for you. Was that good? Do you need anything else? No, that's perfect. Thank you. Okay. Then he's back to his business. There's a lot of people like that. I'm not just saying, wow, he was the greatest guy, but he was a guy that I was like, he was the first guy I went up to that day. And it's always nerve wracking. I got a good Brian Cage story for you on that same vein. But couldn't be nicer. And now Joey Janela's spring break coming up at the Collective, which Wrestling Travel is a very proud sponsor, coming up October 9th, 10th, and 11th in Indianapolis. Now he earns my respect even more because he just put the spotlight on one of my all-time favorites, Ricky Morton.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to checking that out. Probably not going to be down there live. That's right at that borderline of do I drive, do I fly, is it, you know, so. But I will be watching live through our friends on Fight TV. So really looking forward to that. Moving on. So this does not become the Joey Janela show. I'm gonna talk about AEW for a second because it just came to my head. I want to get your opinion. And granted, everybody watching, these are opinions. There's been a lot of talk lately of people citing sources and being wrong. And these are all opinions from two guys just talking shop here. I watch AEW. And now last night, I can't even remember the gentleman's name, and I apologize. Chris Jericho wrestles one of the guys from Private Party.
Isaiah Cassidy.
I was going to go Montez Ford, and I just because they have such a similar gimmick. And I can't remember everybody. And then, well, then NXT had Joey Pistachio on it. So I'm like, with names, I'm like, I'm done. I don't even know what I'm doing here. But I want to talk about Chris Jericho, something I brought up in private conversations with people. What is – now look at last year. Jericho, the dominant heel – champion, the guy that they had all their money into, and I'm not knocking the man formerly known as Dean Ambrose because he's doing a great job killing it on top, but are we wasting, has Jericho already entered that stage of, hey, I'm the guy, I'm on my way down, I'm just going to start putting people over and over, but I still feel like he's got gas in the tank and there's mileage of putting him up as superstar status. But I just feel like we've, you know, we did the Mimosa match and we're doing matches where he's just a, and there's nothing, Private Party, I love him, great work. But in wrestling past history, until we got to Bret Hart and Neidhart breaking up, usually when you take on one member of a tag team, it's not, you know, they're going to take on a star like Jericho. I already know who's coming out with the W, but do you feel like they can get Jericho back up to that main level? And he's, trust me, to me, he's nothing but a superstar. But I just feel like the way he's being used.
I don't really have a problem with how he's been being used. I knew when he eventually did lose the AEW World Title, you can't keep him in that main event and keep, because AEW's type with booking, they're not the type to kind of like churn out 3-4 matches after a guy loses the title. You know, in WWE, and you know, not to knock WWE or get into the tribalism of comparing AEW with WWE, it's just what we naturally do here, but you knew if someone loses a title in WWE, you're gonna see him versus the new champion either right after the next pay-per-view or probably 3 or 4 pay-per-views after that. In AEW, when someone loses a title, they're off that perch. So I knew when Jericho eventually did lose the AEW world title, he was going to go a step down to the like the upper mid-card. And that's where he's very, very established at, and he's pulling people up to his standards. Now, you know, it's very... Of us wrestling fans to be like, you know, oh, he was up here, now he's down here, they're not using him properly. But I just like to view it as this is what Jericho's been doing from the start, because so many people were like, when he won the AEW world title, oh, they should have gave it to Hangman Page, not realizing that this is a brand new company. You need to put it on your biggest star, your biggest name, which was Chris Jericho. So they made the right decision there. But Jericho used that and was immediately putting over new talent. One of his first title defenses was against Darby Allin, where he made Darby Allin look like a star. And then he had the feud with Scorpio Sky, where he bring up a tag team guy and showed everybody that he has the potential to be a single star. He had his little feud with Jungle Boy, which was really Jungle Boy's first breakout moment, where everybody was like, oh, Jungle Boy can be one of the future like young guys. He's only in his 20s. He can be a future star in a couple of years. Then, you know, he had his feud with John Moxley. Moxley won the title, and then immediately following that, he basically focused everything on the Elite and Inner Circle storyline, and that was the main event. Even though he wasn't the world champion anymore at Double or Nothing, it wasn't Brody versus John Moxley that was the main event. The main event was the Stadium Stampede, because it blew off the whole Inner Circle and Elite storyline. Then from there, he brought Orange Cassidy, who was really like a mid-card comedy act, he brought him up to the upper mid-card where Jericho is firmly at. And now he's still doing that. Even though the Orange Cassidy feud is over, he still wants to bring up these younger talents. And he could have simply had his match with Private Party 2 weeks ago, where him and Jake Hager, they are now in the tag team division, which in my eyes, the tag team titles is a bigger prize in AEW than the world title, because the tag team titles has been the best matches on almost every show. It's just as important as the AEW world title. It's like the 1A title and the 1B title to the tag team and the world title. So him going to and forming a tag team with Jake Hager is just him going from the 1A title to the 1B title. But he still wants to bring up these young guys. And Isaiah Cassidy got one of his best matches ever. Isaiah Cassidy has only been, before last night, before that match on Dynamite, he's only been in, I think it's 1 or 2 singles matches in his entire career. This guy started wrestling in 2015. He's done mostly tag team wrestling for his entire career. And 5 years into the game, he's having a matchup with Chris Jericho on national TV against in front of almost 1 million viewers. Jericho is helping the entire company. And that's how you prove yourself to be the top guy. Ric Flair is not considered one of the greatest of all time because he's a 16-time champion in my eyes. He's considered one of the greatest of all time because he made guys like Sting, like Lex Luger, like Barry Windham, Arn Anderson, guys he was in groups with, guys he went one-on-one in the ring with. Jericho is pulling guys up like Sammy Guevara, Jake Hager, Proud and Powerful by them being associated with him in the Inner Circle. He's bringing guys up like MJF, who has all the talent in the world to be a main event star, but him going toe-to-toe with Chris Jericho in these little backstage segments, teasing something further down the line, is elevating MJF to be seen in the same light as Chris Jericho. And him going toe-to-toe with Isaiah Cassidy is showing people, hey, Isaiah Cassidy, even though he's a tag team guy, maybe in 5-6 years, he can eventually be a single star himself. So I think Chris Jericho is doing the right thing to further his whole legacy and make himself permanently the top guy in AEW. And how you do that is bringing people up to your level.
Very well said. One of these times, we're going to do an entire segment We're going to pick current tag teams, and you and I are going to predict who is the Shawn Michaels and who is the Marty Jannetty.
As long as the Marty Jannetty doesn't try to kill a drug dealer when they're 13 at a bowling alley.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping doesn't happen. But, you know, I grew up watching. I'm much older than you, but I watched the Midnight Rockers in the AWA. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'll take all kinds of heat, but in my, you could have taken my money back then. Marty was the cool one. Marty was the freaking cool one. And then when it, you know, when it all happened, and look at Sean's accolades and look at Marty. I mean,
when I first started watching wrestling, I probably did like Marty a little bit more. I mean, I had dark hair. He had dark hair. Marty seemed like the good one. And then I was very young in my fandom of professional wrestling when they first broke up. Marty was the good guy. Sean was the bad guy. I was only like 4 or 5 years old, so I always rooted for the baby faces. So I was rooting for Marty when he came back against Sean on that Monday Night Raw episode. So, you know, it is what it is. Now we can only look at it in retrospect now.
I'm going to give you a homework assignment. Go to YouTube and find the title change when Pat Tanaka and Paul Diamond, Bad Company, you know him better as the Orient Express in the WWE.
Yes, I do.
Managed by Diamond Dallas Page, they win the AWA World Tag Team Champions from the Midnight Rockers. And watch, I mean, Marty's bleeding like a stuck pig. It's a great match. It made me angry when I was younger. But I watch it now. It's a great match. And I'm going to give everybody the heads up on another hidden gem. Has nothing to do with anybody we talked about. But one time only in the AWA, you can find it on YouTube. I saw it when it happened on TV. Watched it many times on YouTube. Did you know, SP3, that you can watch the British Bulldogs versus the Rock and Roll Express in the AWA?
No, I did not know that.
So just for history's sake, everybody, you, me, 17 people out there, check that out on YouTube while you're following us on Twitter. Shima got in a bike accident, I just read. All banged up. Says he's going to be fine, but he's got contusions, and I think he broke his nose and everything. I don't know if you got a chance to read that this morning.
No, I actually did not know that. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Shima. I've first time I ever seen him was in ROH in about 2006. The huge Dragon Gate six-man tag at Supercard of Honor 2006. And I've been a fan of his ever since then. I was very excited when he was a part of AEW from the beginning. So I've been wanting him to come back, but that's a sad. I hope he's going to be all right.
Sounds like he's going to be right. My first time seeing Shima live was last summer in Toronto, where he teamed up with Christopher Daniels, and they came out to the SCU theme music, which was pretty darn cool. James Storm. Now we're walking into rumor territory. I think he kind of no-sold this on Twitter, but there was talk this week that he was supposed to sign with WWE. What have you heard about that? Have you heard anything? Have you been able to? I'm getting a call from Bloomfield, New York. You're not calling me, are you?
No, I'm not in Bloomfield. I'm in New York City.
Okay, York. I didn't know. I'll let that go to.
What I've heard is from Brian Satin of Pro Wrestling Sheet. He did an interview with James Storm, and James said that he was supposed to sign with WWE prior to this whole pandemic starting. He was supposed to, apparently Paul Heyman was a big fan of his. He already had brought over Bobby Roode. He was bringing Bobby Roode over to Monday Night Raw, and he wanted to bring in James Storm. I don't know if they were going to put beer money, one of the greatest TNA tag teams of all time, back together in WWE. If you've seen Monday Night Raw, they have a TNA theme going on. They had an all TNA main event this past week with Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Roode, but maybe maybe we were going to get that, but this whole pandemic put a pause to that.
Vince Storm, another guy, if you follow his socials, you can't deny the dude works out every day. He was our very special guest at Wrestling Travel in New York City for our pre-party. I've told you that story, how he kind of saved our ass. We had one guest and Storm come in. I wish nothing but the best for the Cowboy. He's awesome. I hope he gets back up on that bigger stage. Part of me will be disappointed because then he's out of reach for us to use for anything. But I think it's better for him that he's on the big stage and making the better money and what he deserves. Trevor Murdoch wins the national title over Aaron Stevens on Tuesday night. Did you get a chance to watch that at all amongst all of your wrestling viewing?
I think I said before, Primetime Live, I have to catch up on it's tough. It's a lot of things going on, you know, with professional wrestling. I'm also a big Los Angeles Lakers fan, so I have to stay up late and watch those NBA finals right now. Three wins away we are from winning the championship. Then I can focus full time on nothing but professional wrestling. But I was very happy to hear Trevor Murdoch won. I was a big fan of NWA Power when it was going on weekly. That was probably one of the best weekly wrestling shows that they had around. It was very easily accessible on YouTube, and it had that old school 80s type of feel to it, with nothing but great promos from guys like Nick Aldis, James Storm, Eli Drake. Then you had some good wrestlers. You had some young wrestlers like Ricky Starks is where I discovered him. More great promos from guys like Eddie Kingston, Homicide. But Trevor Murdoch was kind of like a revelation because he was a guy that a lot of people thought was done and over with. And then he came in and he really made his foothold in the NWA. He got it to the finals of the TV title tournament at NWA Hard Times in January. So he was right there from winning that title. And he's been, you know, chasing Aaron Stevens for a couple of months. The whole pandemic put a pause on their rivalry, which was just building on NWA Power. So it was a good payoff that, you know, 6 months later, Primetime Live, Fight TV, he got the big W in the main event over Aaron Stevens. So I'm very happy for Trevor Murdoch. I was a fan of his tag team with Lance Cade all those years ago in the WWE. And, you know, he's a little bit bigger. His stomach's a little bit wider, but he's definitely still got the skills and he's a great promo as well.
I want to let everybody know that's still with us that, not that they couldn't tell, but this show is unrehearsed. So I just pulled Trevor Murdoch out of the blue, and you're talking about going to the finals at NWA Hard Times and this and that. You got a steel trap up there, SP3. So, and I'm glad that it's a steel trap for pro wrestling. So let me, the latest to get accepted into Retribution on Twitter, Mudflap, the Blue Meanie, posting and getting a reaction from T-Bar. It says, you're in. I got to keep us talking about Retribution each week, even though it drives me insane.
It pains you.
It does. Because here's the thing. Tell the story. We're all sitting at home during the pandemic. For most of us, life has started to move for some of us. But there's no reason to drag out a storyline like this like they did for most of the summer. That's where I was like, yawn. But what's the latest on Retribution? Give me some news.
Well, the latest would have to be that due to the ongoing global pandemic and the fact that there was a recent outbreak in NXT, that all five members of Retribution have been pulled off of TV because they're in quarantine for 2 weeks' time. They basically were in contact with members of the NXT roster due to, you know, all those extras that they have in the group, not just the five main members. They have a whole bunch of I like to call them like the putties that Rita used to have on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Like that's what
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what the extra members of, or the Foot Clan from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah, that's what the extra members of Retribution are. So they were in contact with them. Luckily, thankfully, all five members have tested negative for the virus, but, you know, as a precautionary measure, they kept them off of TV. So we're only going to see Retribution in them cutting off the lights for Monday Night Raw and their logo going across the Thunderdome screen. That's where they're going to be as a presence. That was on this Monday and probably next Monday. And then the following Monday from there, we will see the return of Retribution.
Thank goodness they signed with WWE, because I gotta imagine that if you're a group hell-bent on destroying something, it's gotta be a pain in the ass and a bad look for your badass, hooded, tough guy group to go in ready to destroy things and go, wait, hang on, we gotta take a COVID test first. So at least now they're all under the same umbrella and they know they have to take the COVID test.
Well, if this was a different place, a different time, I think that Retribution, we would be talking about it much differently. Because if you've been paying attention to their Twitter game, chef kiss, is immaculate. Especially the leader, T-Bar, his Twitter game is on point. I think it was he had an exchange with Chris Jericho, and Jericho was just like hun to one of his tweets, and then he responded with hun and had the post about Jericho having the Fozzy concert at the Sturgis rally.
I did see that.
And 250,000 people tested positive for the virus. That was a nice clapback. Then I think it was Eric Bischoff said that he hates the Retribution storyline and that it makes no sense. And then he responded to Eric Bischoff and says, it's good that it doesn't make sense. We want to become like you, Eric Bischoff, and destroy a multi-million dollar company. Like, oh my God, their Twitter game and their clapback game is immaculate. I just wish that we got it on TV.
We're going to kind of wrap it up here, but we're going to do a preview. I'm going to do prediction time. So on a Sunday, we've got NXT TakeOver 31 happening from, where is it happening from? The Thunderdome.
Oh, no. I think it's at Full Sail. I think NXT doesn't do the Thunderdome. Especially now, they don't want to get anybody else involved in the outbreak.
So I've got five matches according to my journalistic integrity of Wikipedia. So I want to get your predictions here. Just realized last night that it is now called the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. I know there was talks about that before. But Santos Escobar versus Isaiah Swerve Scott. Your prediction on this match?
I was going in and I was going for Escobar, because I feel like it's still early in his run. I will say my head is going for Santos Escobar. My heart is going for Isaiah Swerve Scott. I've been a big fan of his ever since he was Shane Strickland on the independent scene and Killshot in Lucha Underground. He had one of the greatest hardcore matches I've ever seen in my life with AR Fox in Lucha Underground. But I my heart wants him to win. This is his first big takeover opportunity, but I just believe the whole story with Santo Exomar is just starting, so he's going to take the W here.
And I agree, and I do wish at some times that they weren't so predictable with, okay, this guy won the title. Remember, I think the last one was, I think Christian won the title and then got knocked off the next night on Monday. I like that stuff. Or Zack Ryder winning the Intercontinental title and this big emotional, his dad and everything, and then take it off on the next night. I kind of like that. You know, it switches it up once in a while. Singles match, Velveteen Dream versus, is it Kushida?
Yes. I am definitely going for Kushida here. I'm not going to dwell on Velveteen Dream and go into why I don't like Velveteen Dream anymore, but just keeping it on what we see on TV, Velveteen Dream, since he's returned from injury earlier this year, he hasn't put on a great match yet. I was a big fan of Velveteen Dream. I thought he was going to be the first homegrown star from WWE to become the NXT champion, but he got his big opportunity in an NXT title program against Adam Cole this year, and he put up zero really good matches. I think maybe one match was pretty decent, but none of them was what I describe as good to great matches. He's not had good to great matches against Roderick Strong prior to that. And if he can't have good to great matches with Roderick Strong and Adam Cole, something is wrong. You're a little bit rusty in the ring, maybe, but Kushida is one of my favorites. I think it's a damn crime that he's been with NXT for 18 months, and this is his first takeover opportunity. This man was the king of the junior heavyweight division in New Japan, and I just want him to get his flowers in WWE before it's too late. So I got him getting the victory here.
How long do those guys sign for? Is it different, or is there like a standard 3 years? Or
it's like 3 to 5 years for most.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, 18 months in. Yeah, I'm going to agree with you with Kushida. I'm going to go in a different order that they're showing us on Wikipedia, because up next they have what I feel will probably be the main event. But the North American Championship, Damian Priest and Johnny Gargano, that's got to be a good one on paper.
I think that's going to be really good, one of the better matches of the night. I'm going to go with Damian Priest. He just won the title at TakeOver 30, and I think he takes the W here, but this is going to be a really good match.
I'm going to go Gargano, just to be different, just because. And I know, like I said, Damian just got it, but maybe like a DQ or something, some type of messed up finish. This one, I saw this match live ringside, NXT TakeOver Toronto. But now Io Shirai is the champion and Candice LeRae is the challenger. I don't know. I really love Shirai, but I got a feeling that this might be Candice. What's your thoughts?
I mean, that would work for what you're predicting in the other match, Gargano and Candice becoming the first ever married couple to become NXT champions at the same time. That would be an interesting outcome. But I got Io Shirai winning this one. I just think that Io is pound for pound one of the best wrestlers in WWE, period. Doesn't matter what your gender is. She's in the top five best. Her look, everything about her presentation is just phenomenal. And I agree with you, Io versus Candice was, in my eyes, the WWE Women's Match of the Year last year, and I think this one is going to be great as well.
You know, while we're talking about that, I think in this global pandemic where we don't have fans, you know, some of these matches in NXT, like I'm looking at the results a little bit differently than I would, because, you know, it might have been time to bring EO up to the main roster had we been a normal year with fans. But now, you know, I love Keith Lee, but now Keith Lee is not, he's not like that it factor right now where it's like, oh, he's hot, what is he doing, this and that. He's just kind of up amongst, he's in the big pond. So it might have been time. So let's go to what Wikipedia has as match three of the night, but I feel like it's going to be on later in the card. Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor. Now, obviously, Balor just winning the title. Your money's on him, but this should be a hell of a match.
I just feel like I wish this was a longer build-up to this. Like, he just won the number one contendership last week. I have no doubt in my mind this is going to be a fantastic match. They're going to get, if they get more than 20 minutes, this may be one of the best matches in WWE of 2020. You have two of the best workers. Finn Balor has been one of the best workers in WWE for years now, ever since he came over in 2014. And Kyle O'Reilly has been probably the most underrated guy in NXT. He's been a tag team specialist, the only three-time NXT tag team champion ever. But as a single star, he was one of the best wrestlers in Ring of Honor. He was one of the best wrestlers in Evolve. On the independent scene, when he was signed, everybody thought he was destined for great things. Ever since he came over to WWE, he showed a new side to himself. He's very witty. He's very charismatic. And I think this is a huge opportunity for him. And what happens after TakeOver 31 is going to be more of the story than what happens at the actual show, because regardless of the outcome, win or lose, I think that we're going to see a major shift in the Undisputed Era, which has been the big stable in NXT for the past 3 years. But I got Finn Balor winning this one. It's just too... He just won the title like 3-4 weeks ago, so I don't see him losing the title in his first title defense. But we shall see. This one is going to be excellent.
A little side note here, which goes with the what I'm not seeing on this card. Tell our listeners who the NXT Tag Team Champions are.
The NXT Tag Team Champions is Tyler Breeze and Fandango Breezango.
And tell me why we don't have a tag team title defense on a takeover, even if it was a pre-show.
Because between Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, I think they got like 5 tag teams. And Breezango has versed all of them. So I just think that they were like, maybe they might announce something on Twitter. They might do. And I also, that has to do with the whole outbreak in NXT.
Right.
Guys like Bobby Fish was off of TV 2 weeks ago. He was off TV this week. I know probably somebody else from the tag team division. I think Oney Larkin wasn't on the show 2 weeks ago as well. So I think that has a lot to do with it. I know they have a number one contendership planned out with Oney Larkin and Danny Burch versus Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish. But I think there's been a delay on that due to the whole outbreak that occurred.
Last couple of things, touching really quickly on this because we're going in a lot of time. Ring of Honor Pure Tournament. Have you been able to watch it?
I was able to watch, I believe it was the first episode. Really good stuff. I loved Jay Lethal versus Dalton Castle, and I just love the presentation of it. It feels like an MMA type of show. Like if you're watching UFC and they give you like the character profiles about each fighter going into the match, the presentation is really solid and on point. I still have to watch episode 2 and episode 3, but I really like the whole presentation of that first episode. Jonathan Gresham versus Willa Yuta was another really good matchup, and they're kind of teasing that the ROH tag team champions of Lethal and Gresham are going to verse in the finals, which is a pretty good storyline going into this tournament.
Right, and recently I saw Tony Deppen. His interview was posted last night on Facebook. I love the feel of that. Deppen has been killing it on the independent scene for a long time. I would see him wrestle, 5-6 years ago, Pennsylvania Premier Wrestling, one of my favorite independent organizations, as well as True Wrestling. So it's nice to see a guy like Deppen. And he's been stepping on bigger stages a lot before this, but it's just nice to see a different side of Deppen in that interview. Finally, we have reached the point, SP3, where it is time for our quiz.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. First question. In the match where Hogan came out to join the NWO, so we're talking Bash at the Beach, 1996. So he came out to join Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. Who were the three opponents across the ring in that
match? Three opponents across the ring were Sting, Macho Man Randy Savage, and the man that was taken out of the match probably midway through was Lex Luger.
Right. I thought I'd start with an easy one.
Gave me a little alley. Thank you.
I'm going to ask you one I asked Danny and Kyle, the other guy that was on the show at the time, and they didn't get it. We're going to go – topic is going to be Rick Martel.
Okay.
Rick Martel was a world champion in what organization?
Probably was in Canada. AWA?
Yes. Ding, 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 ding. Rick Martel and his partner Tom Zank in the WWF were a tag team known as what?
I'm going to go with Strike Force.
Final answer?
No, the Cam Am Express or Cam Am
Connection.
Connection, yes.
Fantastic. So then after the Can-Am Connection, after Tom Zank left, Rick Martel did indeed form Strikeforce. Who was his tag team partner?
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot here.
You're going to hate yourself if you miss this one.
Jesus, can I get a hint?
Hailing from Tequila, Mexico. Arriba.
Oh, Tito Santana.
Tito Santana. Strike Force. Very good. And let's end it with we'll do something. I'm trying to think of something kind of, this is all on the spot. I don't know if folks can tell this.
I think they can.
Hulk Hogan defeated who to become the WWF champion in January of 1984?
The Iron Sheik.
The Iron Sheik. And the Iron Sheik, now this is where, that was my prelude. The Iron Sheik won the title from who? And how did he win the title?
Bob Backlund, when his manager threw in the towel when he was in the Camel Clutch.
No freaking way I thought you would get that, you son of a bitch. Nice job. So, again, as I'm hosting the podcast, the winner this week of the quiz is yours truly, Justin Clapper. As SP3 did a hell of a job. You are the quiz master. I'm going to let you go. I know you guys are filming your podcast. You guys film on Thursdays as well. So we are looking forward to that. So this was podcast episode Lucky 38. It's October, and we're doing our 13th podcast. Kind of spooky.
Dun, dun, dun. Yes, thank you so much for having me on Lucky Number 13 episode. If you guys like my opinion on wrestling, I don't know why you would, but if you do, check out True Heel Heat. If you like audio podcasts like this one, we are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. We have an anchor page as well, or you could check us out on our YouTube channel, True Heel Heat, where we not only have our weekly podcast, we have True Rewind, where I review the Monday Night Wars with my good brothers, Romeo Anthony Cologne and Drunk Guy JJ. We also got a whole bunch of show reviews during the week. True Heel Heat weekly podcast comes out usually on Saturdays with Top Guy JJ and Miss Chrissy Love. So check that out and get us to 1,000 subscribers. We're just under 200 subscribers away. So we appreciate any and all support. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at True Heel Heat.
Just came to me, for those of you that are listening on the audio side, True is spelled T-R-U. Now, is there controversy here? Because I remember when WWE switched over from WWF, the campaign was get the F out. But now I'm wondering, do you guys lean towards AEW and stuff? Are you guys True Heel Heat, get the E out? Is there a controversy here with WWE?
Get the E out. Yes, we bring you the entertainment, so we don't need to put the E in. We don't have to hit you over the head with it being entertainment. We give you entertainment each and every day on our YouTube channel, so you don't even need the E. It is T-R-U for True, and that True moniker is all ours. So if you don't like wrestling podcasts, if you just happen to come across this podcast, Wrestling Travel, check out my men's lifestyle podcast, True Toxicity, where I'm talking all about men's lifestyle, relationships, and all the whatnot, what you want to know. We're here for it. And Peppa Pig is trash.
And I would assume, and I know most people go, yes, naturally this is going to happen. When you start talking grooming and fashion, you're probably going to have me on as a guest.
Of course. You are a fashion guru, sir.
Fashion guru. All right, for SP3, for Wrestling Travel, This is JC Justin Clapper at Clapper77 on Twitter. If you want to get me one step closer to, well, 10,000 followers, it'll never happen, but hey, why not? Let's get to 10K. We're out. We'll see you at Wrestling Travels next podcast. Wrestling Travel number 14. In the meanwhile, keep your eyes open for my exclusive interview with Al Snow coming up on our YouTube, our lockdown sessions. Have a great weekend, folks. We'll see you after NXT TakeOver 31.
Peace.